And welcome back, everyone. Day two of our March 7th and 8th, 2024 commission meeting. For those of you joining us online, welcome. For those of you that are with us on day two, thank you for being here. We have a full agenda to get through today, and so we're going to jump right into it. Yesterday, we ended after our conversation on item 15, the waterfowl hunting seasons. We are going to move down to 16, elk hunting seasons, presentations, and proposals. With that, we have a few folks with us today. Welcome.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Oldman. And I'm senior big game biologist out of Rapid City. And yeah, I'll be providing some updates on elk and some background and supportive information that we will have to evaluate the recommendations for proposal in front of you today. So what I want to cover, let us first start off with our elk action plan, because that really guides us as an agency as far as what we do for elk management in the state. And then I'm going to cover our surveys. I'm going to talk about population objectives, and then I'll end with our population model and where we're at as far as this year with elk numbers. So starting off with the action plan, four things I want to cover. Again, our action plan really lays out what we do as an agency, allows us to be transparent with how we manage elk in the state. And the first one I want to talk about is our objectives. As most of you know, in the Black Hills, we have an objective of 6,000 to 8,000 elk, Custer State Park, 500 to 600. We also have a strategy in the action plan that helps us decide what proportion of any elk licenses go towards archery versus firearm. And we allocate that at 25% archery and 75% firearm for any elk licenses. For analysts, it's 10% archery and 90% firearm, except in Custer State Park. All of our analyst opportunities are firearm. We also have an objective for harvest age. Our objective is to manage 60% of the bulls that are harvested basically to be 4 years of age or older. And then we have an objective for hunter success. Folks in South Dakota do have to wait quite a while to hunt elk in the state, and so there's some pretty high expectations, and we need to meet those expectations. And our success objective is a minimum hunter success of 75%, which is really good for elk hunting. So starting off with our cereals, I first talk about our elk harvest. We'll do two surveys. Basically, we survey all of our hunters electronically. So every single elk hunter gets an electronic survey. And then those hunters that are successful, there is a mandatory 24-hour check. This is where we gather our disease information, if we're collecting chronic wasting disease information. It's also where we get our harvest age data. Hunters submit their incisor, not their incisor teeth, but the incisor teeth of the elk that they harvest, the two front teeth. And we send those teeth off to a laboratory in Montana for age analysis. So where are we at for harvest? Move that. So here's a graph of harvest going back to the 1990s. The green bar is our total harvest. The red bar is the cow harvest, or the line, and the red, blue line is basically bull harvest. So this last year, we harvested a little over 900 total elk in the Black Hills, all seasons combined. 551 of those were bulls, 354 were cows. You can see the most recent peak in harvest we had back in 2005, and we did have too many elk back then. Also had multiple years of drought, and they were way above social tolerance. We harvested almost 1,600 animals that year, of which about 1,000 were cows, so we ramped up the harvest. But the last 5 to 6 years, we've been bouncing around that 700 to 900 total elk harvest, and keeping us in that objective that I'll talk about here in a little while. So that was the Black Hills, and here's what our prairie harvest looks like. We also have elk outside of the Black Hills on the prairie, some growing populations. Managing elk on the prairie does have its challenges. Almost all private land, almost all of it managed for agricultural purposes, so there are some conflicts there. Last year, we did harvest a total of 132 elk on the prairie. So while there is some conflict, there's also some opportunity, right? That's about 15% of our Black Hills elk harvest. So there is a lot of opportunity out there on the prairie as well. We do manage our prairie elk primarily to abate agricultural damages, but at the same time, we try and maximize that opportunity where we can. So like I mentioned, we do have some age objectives for our bull harvest in the hills. Again, we're looking at, we want 60% of our harvest to be at least bulls at least 4 years of age or older. So this is the age of, or the percent of our bulls that are in that category over the last 6 years. This is for the Black Hills. That green line is our objective, and you can see that we've been well above our objective for quite a few years, which means we do have some additional opportunity to harvest bulls if we're going to manage for that objective. So that's the Black Hills. Custer State Park is, as you can see, a little more even above objective than the Black Hills, which again means we do have some additional opportunity for bull harvest if we're going to manage for that objective, and that's going to be reflected in the recommendations you have in front of you today. Again, we have success objectives. Here's a quick table of the success of those individuals that had an any elk license over the last 4 years. You can see the breakdown by unit, if there's a unit you're interested in. But just focusing on the Black Hills total there in bold and Custer State Park, you can see again that minimum threshold of 75%, which again does allow us some opportunity for some more bull harvest. So moving on to the next survey, our fall herd composition survey. I already spoke with the commission here a few months or so ago about the results of that survey, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But last year, our estimate of equipment was 53 calves per 100 cows. So that was above our average. So that's good news for elk and the Black Hills and our hunters. We also did some survival monitoring in the Black Hills. And we do this by capturing adult cows and putting radio collars on them and monitoring them throughout the year. Last time we captured prior to this year was in 2020, and we captured 35 adult cows there. We just finished up captures this year, actually just about a week ago. So staff have been really busy capturing elk, but we just captured 150 cow elk in the hills. And we've got radio collars on them, so we're beginning to gather some great data again on cow survival. As you know, Andrew mentioned earlier, we are doing a research project in the Black Hills on elk right now. Some of the primary objectives behind that project is survival, but also looking at the impacts of chronic wasting disease on survival in different herds across the hills. I do want to mention that we do have multiple funding sources for this project. Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation really steps up to the table on these projects. They're a great, great cooperator, great funding agency for these projects. Because there is a disease component of this project, we're able to get some funding from USDA APHIS and the Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance. And I'd also be remiss not to mention the support we have from a lot of private landowners. A lot of these captures are occurring on private land, and we've got a lot of great cooperation from our landowners in the Black Hills as well. So moving on to our elk aerial surveys, as some of you know, periodically we do a complete aerial survey of our elk in the Black Hills. We started that in 2013, repeated it in 2016, and again in 2020. We were scheduled to fly this winter, but as you all know, it's been kind of an odd winter. It's been really open, not very much snow cover. One of the things we really want for an aerial survey is good snow cover. We just didn't have that for very long in the Black Hills. So we did postpone that to 2025. So putting it all together here, what we do as staff is we take all of our survey data that I just went over. We also incorporate some previous research biological data from previous studies. We put it in the, some population models, and this allows us to project abundance and population growth, which ultimately dictates license allocation that we recommend to you as a commission in order to meet the population objectives that we just talked about, but also the unit-by-unit population objectives. And here's the latest on our unit-by-unit population objectives across the state. Just starting with the Prairie, Rose Lane is outside of the Black Hills Fire Protection District. You know, the good news is that most of those are a maintained objective. That's signified by the green color there. So that's good. We're about where we want to be in a lot of these birds. So we've applied some pretty good pressure to deal with social issues or agricultural damages, if you will, in some of those areas. So we're about where we want to be. You can see the big WIA is gray. There's no objective for that. We continue to have discussions on what the best management approach is for that area. It is very large. We have several different herds, several different thoughts on what we want to do with those in different parts of that unit. So we continue to discuss that. In the meantime, our approach for that is to make sure we have enough licenses to address any damages that we have in those areas and provide as much opportunity as we can as a whole in that big area. So focusing on the Black Hills now, you can see for the most part, the central and northern parts of the Black Hills, our objective was to slightly grow the population. And again, that's going to be reflected in the licenses that we're recommending here today. You can see in the southern part of the hills, we're about where we want to be, so we're keeping some pressure on those animals down there. So, wrapping it up with our results of our population modeling and where we're at right now with F numbers in the Black Hills. The dots on this graph are when we did our AIL survey and associated confidence intervals with those estimates. And then in between the dots is the results of our population modeling. And you can see we've been bouncing around. The good news is we've been bouncing around that population objective, right? Our projections are that in 2024, this year, we're at about 7,400 animals. We estimate that the population with the recommendations in front of you right now will continue to slowly grow. And we think we're probably about a 2-3% growth rate is what our projection would be. So just wrapping it up, of course, Andrew's going to go over all the details of the recommendations with you, but kind of a 10,000-foot view of what those recommendations are. So for antlerless elk, again, our objective is slight growth, and our recommendation is to maintain the current license allocation of 730. Remember, back in 2020, we as the commission did pass a pretty significant increase to our cow licenses, a 46% increase. We did that to slow that growth on the elk herd. We think it worked. So for any elk, again, we are consistently exceeding our bull age structure and our success objectives, which isn't bad, right? It means good hunting, but it also means we have some additional opportunity out there if we want to provide some additional bull hunting. Our recommendation is some slight increases in type 21 licenses. The Black Hills for firearm, we're going about 35 additional licenses there. For archery, another 10 additional bull licenses. For Custer State Park, an additional 4 for firearm, an additional 1 for archery. With that, that's what we had to talk about today, and I'll stay around for any questions.
Very good, thank you. Any questions for Andy on the presentation before us, or comments? Very good information. Commissioner Beast?
So we're increasing how many rifle tags this year? 10 or 11, you said?
I'm going to just go back.
35 additional retreat.
Additional fire tags and then 10 additional archery any elk tags.
And I've made this comment in the past too before. I remember here, I don't know, quite a few years ago, I went in front of the commission and approached this issue when they started raising our bull tags or any elk tags up. We need to be careful there because I think South Dakota people like a quality hunt, and years ago we went and started raising these tags up and we started looking like Colorado raghorns, and I think people in South Dakota really enjoy having the quality hunt we have, and we need to be careful on these any elk tags going shooting or harvesting these bulls and control the population with the cow tags more than the bull tags, in my opinion. I would like to, you know, keep the quality we have and give our hunters the best opportunity for a lifetime hunt that other states don't offer. It's just, you know, my opinion. I want to relay that back. Let's be careful so we don't over harvest and get below that 30-year age limit. Just my comments.
Very good. Secretary, yes.
Well, Madam Chair, and we hear you, Commissioner, and that's exactly why we collect age data. You can see our age data there with 80% of our bulls are in that 4+, 4.5+ category. Totally understand the quality conversation and that concern. If that 80% wasn't on that barbell the last 4 years, we likely would not be bringing you an increase to those any elk tags. So absolutely understand your concern. We monitor that age structure data very closely and to ensure that our hunters have plenty on this to pursue in the field.
Yeah, that's good. I think we're doing a good job doing it. And I remember, you know, we used to always send our teeth in, have them cut and aged, and then we went to a wear value. You know, the wear of the teeth on the bulls for some years. Now we're back to cutting the teeth and aging them, I think, more correctly. And I think that was one of the issues we had back then was, you know, the wear on the teeth. You know, everybody's different and elk are different and every animal's different on wear. But, and I think that's one of the good structures we went back to is actually sending the teeth off, having them cut and having them age instead of looking at them and saying, well, yeah, the wear's aged, but.
Through the chair.
Yes, please.
Commissioner Lewis, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It is challenging to age an animal by tooth wear. And while I think staff did a great job, it is nice. We send all of our teeth off to the medicine's lab, you know, which still isn't 100% perfect, but it's consistent. So it does give us good trend data. And it does give us probably the best way you can age an animal. So,
Commissioner Cole.
Madam Chairman, just a question. Do you compile or do you have access to any demographic data on both gender and age of licenses given? Not applicants, but licenses given.
Through the chair.
Yes, please.
I'm sure you don't have that at your fingertips, but can we get it sometime?
Commissioner Cole, I'm sure we could get those data and make a note of it to gather those and send them back to you.
Commissioner White.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Whitehair, we keep hearing something along the lines about the impact on the herd from predators. Is there some type of survey or number that you keep up each year on the number of the herd that are subject to predator control?
Chair?
Yes.
Commissioner White. Yeah, no, that's a good question. That's something we as biologists constantly discuss and try to wrap your head around and try to quantify that as challenging. But we do have some good data sets to evaluate. One of the, a lot of studies really point out that the biggest impact of predation, especially on elk, is on those calves, right? And so every year we do an annual recruitment survey, that herd composition survey. We're out there quantifying, classifying cows and calves. And so we get it. Trend data of calves per 100 cows. And like I mentioned today and previously, this last year, we were at 53 calves per 100 cows. So recruitment's good. And so there's two big things that really drive the population, recruitment and then female survival. And like I mentioned again, we do have a lot of radio collars out there right now. So we're really going to track that adult female survival. We generally, in the hills, the main thing that kills an adult elk is a bullet. We do see some predation, but predation in the Black Hills with the predator we have is pretty limited on adult cows. It's that recruitment class that you got to watch and monitor, which we do.
Andy, one question. On one of the maps, you guys had put some color in terms of if we want to maintain a unit, increase, decrease. There's one section that showed significantly decreased. What section was that? Where is that at?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I believe that would have been unit 9. Would have been the decrease in the Black Hills. There's also a unit north of the interstate there that's, I think, a slight decrease, if I remember right. So, yeah, we We have an overall objective we manage for, but we do have directions within each one of those units. Unit 9 would, you know, would be some conflict with private land there that we're addressing. And we're going to see that in your recommendations, some Atlas licenses there to get on top of that herd.
All right, very good. Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner Beese.
We've always seen the age structure of our bull herd or the bull harvest. What is our age structure of the cows that are being harvested? Where's our age on those? Are they 8, 9, 10?
Yes.
Through the chair, Commissioner Beese, that, we do collect the age structure of the cows. We don't have any thresholds that are established for that. Our average age structure for cows, if I remember right, is probably around that, don't quote me on this, which is a dumb thing to say when you're on the mic, right? But it's around 6 years of age. I can give you some specifics on that. I don't have all of it off the top of my head. But again, we don't have any thresholds for that. It's something we do look at. We do use it in our population models. It does help inform some of our population models. But again, there isn't a set threshold for that.
Where's our age coming across on the ones we were doing harvesting?
I believe we're averaging around 6 years of age, but I can show you a graph of that. Something we do look at. I just don't have it off my fingertips here.
Very good. Any other questions or comments at this time? Commissioner Locken.
Just curious, now that you put a bunch of new radio collars on, are we seeing a different migration pattern or wintering pattern on the elk? Are they wintering in a different place this year because the weather has been mild? Are more or less going out onto the prairie? Or what are we seeing on that?
Yeah, Mr. Rothman, I wish we would have those 150 collars on before this winter because I'd be able to answer that question a little bit better. But I can tell you, just anecdotally, we do believe we didn't see quite the migration this year just because of the lack of winter. Some of those animals are migrating regardless. And a lot of them migrate from north down to south, down in the Jasper Fireburn area. I mean, we can hold 50 to 75% of our herd in the Jasper Fire area. Just a lot of great winter habitat. But open winter like this, we had a lot of elk herds that were still north, scattered smaller herds, which was great for radio collars and sampling those animals in the northern part of the hills. But we don't have it quantified because we didn't have the collars out yet.
Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this, Commissioner Bartling, this might be for the Secretary. The bill that was passed on the landowner, antlerless elk, what kind of impact will that have on elk population? Or is that anything that, you know, we've, I guess, kind of put pencil to the paper on?
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. And Kevin here, Secretary Gifford Sparks. That definitely is going to play a role in how we manage elk and on the prairie units in particular, especially in the areas where we want to decrease the herd or be proactively managing the herd for a slow growth or a no growth objective. The details of that SB 173 are going to have to be essentially put together by this body. And that's where we're going to be bringing proposals to the commission as to who's going to be eligible, where they're going to be eligible, what producers and what units will be eligible, those sorts of things. Elk use days is going to have to be a conversation as well. We have that with landowner preference, so we're going to do that with landowner land licenses as well. So there's definitely some work to be done there. The legislature gave you the authority to establish that license type, and that's really where it's at right now. So all those details will be ironed out with this body. In April, we'll bring a proposal. Again, I think that'll be a great discussion to have because we're right in the middle of elk recommendations. But if you go back to that gray map on that gray unit, Andy, I don't know if you could pull that up. And that is going to be the objective map. Now, the whole area that was gray up there, if you recall, in the prairie units, does not have an objective at this time. And that's something we're going to have to have a discussion with and on with this body, because at the end of the day, that is probably going to dictate where those landowner owned land licenses will be eligible or not. And that is that elk herd in the Cheyenne River all the way to the Missouri River, in a sense, is growing. It is definitely growing. We're seeing elk in places we've never seen elk before. Well, not before, but at least in the last 20 years. So those conversations need to continue, and they will continue. And I just appreciate the legislature for giving me the authority, giving me the authority to kind of draw that, illustrate that picture of elk management moving forward on the prairie units. So That's okay.
Nice try. Any other questions or comments? Very good information. Thank you for putting that together.
Thank you.